Today we talk about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We talked about Jesus being the Lamb of God last week, and of course lots of other times. When we think about names for Jesus, one is Good Shepherd. There's a long list of metaphors and names. Doug's projected some. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Father, Son, Spirit, Light, Power, King, Morning Star, Rock. Shepherd is one of those metaphors, descriptions that we use to help us understand God better. I like the idea behind using metaphors to find ways to describe the indescribable. Somewhere recently I read, somewhere, how's that for a citation? Somewhere I read that metaphors help us understand the strange majesty of Jesus Christ. Being the Good Shepherd is certainly a strange way to describe majesty, because neither lambs nor shepherds are viewed as majestic. I like the metaphor analysis of Professor Johanna Boss. She's an Old Testament professor emerita at Louisville Presbyterian Seminary. And she suggests that when we're looking at names, metaphors for God, Jesus, always use that, yes, it's a good description. No, it falls short. And more so, that God is the supremely best. Any kind of description we can ask or imagine. So that would work for this, Jesus is a shepherd, yes, no, and how much more so. But today I got looking at this in past, present, and future. The first reference to God as shepherd comes in Genesis chapter 48. Jacob referred to the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Shepherds are understood to be caring leaders. There's a beautiful passage in Ezekiel 34, where God explains that a shepherd will come from the line of David, and there will be one shepherd to feed and to lead. Ezekiel 34:11. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so I will look after my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. The prophet Jeremiah also laid groundwork for the Good Shepherd by describing bad shepherds, leaders that were stupid and divisive, and that's not my word because I don't use that word, stupid and divisive. Jeremiah says that the sheep, the citizens, are scattered because of the awful job that the shepherds had done. This is the quote. The shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered. So when Jesus declares, I am the Good Shepherd, he's pulling from all these well-known Old Testament references. He's making bold statements about himself and his divinity. These are in-your-face kind of statements that sound oh so gentle. I am the Good Shepherd. But really, Jesus was stating, the Old Testament shepherd God that you heard about, that's me. God and I are one. And of course, they considered that blasphemy. But Jesus declared that he's the shepherd of God's people. God's people consistently referred to as sheep. Jesus, born in a barn like a little lamb, like an innocent child, born to a shepherd. Shepherds came to see that amazing newborn that the angels sang about. because the stable is one of the very few places where shepherds are welcome. There probably wouldn't have been any room in the inn for them either. And at the appropriate time, when all was ready, when God's time was fulfilled, Jesus was given authority. And he received the authority of God to be the shepherd over the flock of us, of all of us, Jesus says. And Jesus says he's a good shepherd, not like Jeremiah's shepherds who let things get out of control. A good shepherd. The Greek adjective used, kalos, doesn't imply just morally good, you know, right versus wrong kind of good, but good as in lovely, strong, powerful, gracious, and noble. So Jesus is the highest quality, the extra most bestest shepherd, more than all the other shepherds. He was the good shepherd. And he still is our good shepherd. The infant who became a shepherd, known as the Lamb, has a special ancestor, King David of Israel, who was also a shepherd. And David told us what this shepherd does for the flock in his care, that the good shepherd's sheep can say, "I shall not want," because the shepherd's every thought is for the care of his flock. The good shepherd who protects and leads, knowing what the sheep need. And he finds green pastures and leads to drink from still waters. Do you remember from our Psalm 23 series that sheep are afraid of rushing, moving water? And so the shepherd finds someplace calm and defends from danger and drives off enemies that would harm the flock, and safely and gently guides his sheep. And so we sing, "Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us." Now, sheep and goats, I've read, they're both surprisingly expressive with affection and trust, and they will readily recognize the shepherd as opposed to a stranger. And a herd will gather around its herder looking for food and physical contact, but will be wary of an unknown person. Jesus refers to this when he talks about sheep knowing, recognizing, and following the shepherd's voice. We need a shepherd to rescue us, to show us the way. Jesus told a beautiful shepherd parable himself. We read it in Matthew 18. This is from the Voice translation. Jesus told the story. A shepherd in charge of 100 sheep notices that one of his sheep has gone astray. What do you think he should do? Should the shepherd leave the flock on the hills unguarded to search for the lost sheep? God's shepherd goes to look for that one lost sheep. And when he finds her, he's happy about her return than he is about the 99 who stayed put. Your Father in heaven does not want a single one of the tripped, waylaid, stumbling little ones to be lost. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. When I first started visiting, when I first started visiting First Press members, and you know that was almost 10 years ago, I was smart then and I took notes. I haven't been doing that. But I wrote down that Orlo Boss liked the song, The 90 and 9. And I found that page of notes when I was preparing Norma's memorial service recently. And that note brought me sweet childhood memories and a little irony, because my oldest brother had a lovely bass voice and he used to sing the 90 and 9 as a solo when I was very young. And I knew it was an old song. I didn't realize it was written in 1868. And Orlo liked that song. And Orlo and my brother died in the same week, many years ago. Do you know the 90 and 9? Are you a 90 and 9, or are you that other one? There were 90 and 9 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. I'm not going to sing the rest, but it says, Lord, thou hast here 90 and 9. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this one of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. And all through the mountains, thunder-riven and up from the rocky steep, there rose a glad cry to the gate of heaven. Rejoice, I've found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. You may have seen, I put it on the church Facebook page, this. Each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there is room. And while that's another true metaphor, we also need to keep in mind that we have a persistently good shepherd who pursues us and might not take no as our final answer. It's a good shepherd who wants all of us, those already and those not yet, in the fold. And the good shepherd is searching for us to bring us home. We started the worship service with the epistle lesson that came from Revelation 7. It was a call to a glimpse of our eternal home, where we, with all the redeemed sheep, will stand before the throne of God and the Lamb. And we have a place with that countless multitude, people from every nation who've passed through the valley of the shadow of death and were led to safety by their Savior. We will stand before that throne, our sins washed away by the Lamb who always will be our shepherd. We will rest in safety and heavenly peace, and we will sing our hallelujahs, and we will feast at the banquet table and drink from the water of the river of life. And God will wipe every tear from our eyes, and we will find shelter forever in the arms of the Good Shepherd. Because the King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, he is mine forever. Perverse and foolish off I strayed, and yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. There's no place like home, our heavenly home, where we will be with our good shepherd forever. So I'd like you to stand with me to affirm your faith with the words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.